CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. It is Thursday. The Burning Platform. It's not the last one. It's next week's the last one of the year, right? Is that correct, Sia?
Mm-hmm.
Sia Sangweni knows everything. I have to ask him, otherwise, who knows?
That's a lot of pressure.
I know. You have to know everything. So
try telling my mother that.
Oh, no. Can't do that. Today, you have me, you have Sia, you have Gugu, you have Mbulelo, you have Canthan. It's an all-male show today. Imagine the feminists tearing out their pubic hairs.
Oh.
Do we really want to imagine that?
There's nothing more upset than a feminist. They have no sense of humor. So a good morning, special good morning to all the feminists this morning.
Hello, feminists.
Especially the angry ones.
I don't want to set them off.
You don't want to set them off?
No, I really don't.
You really don't. Right now, they're burning something.
Probably pubes.
No, I was at a dinner party a little while ago, and someone referred to a woman as a chick.
Uh-oh. And a feminist got upset?
And that was already an issue.
Yeah, look, you got to be careful. I'm very careful who I say chick or girl even. You got to be careful with girls sometimes around people. That girl's really pretty. What, you called her a girl?
Yeah.
You can almost hear like the...
What does it sound like? It
sounds like an angry reptile.
And you know, the funny thing is, it does sound like an angry reptile. Yeah. And the funny thing is, like, I've never met a confident, happy, attractive woman who gets upset being called chick, girl, anything like that. Or whoever gets upset on anyone else's behalf. It's always trolls.
Ooh.
It's always bridge, bog, and swamp trolls of various kinds that get upset on. And by the way, I'd love to reiterate this because it's something that just, it happens from time to time and people need to be reminded.
Okay.
You are not allowed to get upset on anyone else's behalf. In other words, if you're a rich white person from the northern suburbs and someone says, you know, the blacks in Alexandria, and you decide you're going to get upset about the state of the black people in Alexandria on their behalf, nobody cares.
The trouble starts when Susie in Houghton starts to think, I understand their journey.
Not just I understand their journey, but they have made me their spokesperson. It's amazing. And then Susan, or what did you call her? Jane from Houghton or wherever. Then she appoints herself the spokesperson and she derives tremendous social points out of being the person who we refer to when we need to know how the black people in Alex feel.
Welcome to 2019.
You'll never find her actually going into Alex to ask those people.
Not a chance.
Or to say to them, listen, people of Alex, I am a conscientious person who is interested in doing something for you. I'll stand as ward counselor for Alex. Never.
No.
They generally start all their sentences with, I understand my privilege, right? But I just think at the moment,
I got into an argument with someone yesterday.
Over what?
Cyril and his lies.
Okay.
Because he was posting this thing, and then this one guy, you know, we're such a binary society in some people's heads. It has to be one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, you criticize Cyril, that must mean you want Helen Ziller.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it can't possibly mean you have a nuanced approach, like maybe the ANC is full of shit, but maybe the DA is full of shit too. No, if you're pro-ANC, you can't be pro-DA, and if you're anti-ANC, you must be pro-DA. It's just bizarre. Like, I've never voted for the DA in my life, and this is the shit I have to put up with from illiterate, ignorant idiots. So this guy's like, yeah, would you prefer Helen Ziller? So I was like, well, if that's where it's got to go, right, if that's the only option we have is Helen or Cyril, Helen hasn't lied on the scale that Cyril has. The Western Cape seems to operate better than all the other provinces. I think she would steal less because she hasn't actually enriched herself if you look at the way she lives now. I think if you force me to choose, thanks for that. So I was like, okay. You forced me to a binary decision. Yeah, all right.
Goodness.
Maybe.
But
maybe
you had the energy to engage.
Well, it was just I had 5 spare minutes yesterday evening. Okay. So.
You'll never get those back. No, I can tell you that now.
Wow, there's so much fun stuff to discuss, though, today. We'll get into the politics later on because it's the burning platform, which is everybody's favorite way to spend a Thursday morning so that you're equipped to talk to other idiots over the weekend.
Huh.
You know, sometimes
that's if you want to.
Well, sometimes you don't have the energy or the inclination, as you just pointed out, to get into the politics. And then on Thursday morning, we give you like a full spectrum of political opinions and ideas, and you can go into the weekend fully armed and dangerous.
It is just like yesterday. So it's now been announced that the 2019 word of the year is they.
Oh. Very good. Well, that's
not
a big
him,
announcement.
Not her, but the word of the year is they.
That's a very big announcement. I think that deserves a fanfare.
And there's just someone going on and on and on. We had a late lunch with my friends about how, you know, this is despicable.
Yes.
And it's just, like, what does it even mean?
They were upset by they being in word of the year.
And the whole entire idea. And for me, I have no dog in the fight. No. It was just, you know, I let them go on for a good 4 to 5 minutes on this mini monologue. I just don't have the energy to
hang on. Did they have a problem
anymore
with it? They thought it's wrong that they is the word?
Mm. More than they is the word of the year, the idea of referring to someone as they.
Because it's othering or what's the...
Because it doesn't fit their box.
I dealt with someone who's a they the other day.
Really?
Oh, really?
How did you feel about that?
No, it's fine. I mean, it's kind of annoying because I think it's attention seeking.
So it's still something to get around. How did you know they were they?
Because someone else told me that's what they want to be called.
Did you call them that?
He, she, or him, her. Yeah, of course I did. I'm respectful. If you ask me to call you Guguletu, as opposed to Gugu, if you ask me to call you Mbolelo, or if you ask me to pronounce your name slightly differently, let's say your name is Nosbekegeshe.
Yes.
And you would like me to pronounce it that way, and maybe I don't get the click right, I'm going to work at it so that I can get it right because that's respectful.
Could you please call me Sire from now on?
No, because that is not your title.
Well, actually, Gareth, I live in Houghton.
That is stolen valor.
I live in Houghton. My name's Susan, Susan Michelson. And on Sia's behalf, I just want to say, as a black man here, I think Sia makes him more imbibe easier into capitalism.
Thank you.
If you could just... He identifies as a Sia.
Thank you.
All right. No, it's got to be real. And if someone is genuinely... If it really is important to them, then what's it to me? It's no sweat. You know, if someone's they... So
I would have ruffled feathers if I were yesterday.
Well, why?
Why
Google?
I don't know.
Because you don't need to pick a fight where there isn't one, and I might have to work with this person.
Okay.
And they work for a friend of mine, and they have a fairly important job there, and I would like to be as respectful as possible until they turn out to be a douchebag. And if they are a douchebag, then I'll
they
stop.
They are a douchebag.
Well, you get into it very quickly. It's like, you know... If someone, I remember when I started off in broadcasting, I learned, and I thought I was so clever, I learned that when you say the name of the Prophet Muhammad, you have to say peace be upon him afterwards every time. And it gets very tiresome, especially if you're not a Muslim and you don't really care about respecting dead people or prophets because you don't necessarily agree that they were prophets. It's like, you know, Shepherd Bushiri is a prophet, supposedly.
Prophet of doom.
Yeah, well... He's a thief and a liar and a charlatan. But so was Muhammad, and in some ways so was Jesus. And I was very proud of myself that I was being a friend to all Muslims by saying peace be upon him every time I mentioned the Prophet Muhammad. Of course, Muslim people didn't give a shit. They were like, he's pandering. And non-Muslims were like, he's really trying so hard to be politically correct. What a douchebag. So I didn't make any special friends. And I felt really great about myself. And this is the trap that lots of people, from the start of the show this morning, through this conversation about them, a lot of people get caught up in how it makes them feel. Now, if Sia wants to be called Sia, because that's how you pronounce his name, and he genuinely wants that, then what skin is it off my back to give him that? But at the same time, if you're doing it for you, if I'm doing it so that I can feel I'm more culturally aware and I have really displayed...
Why do we always gravitate to this accent?
That's the accent of people like that. And these are the people who drive that bullshit. I mean, you know, they figured out in America, right, that most of the woke people are not people who have been victims to discrimination and prejudice and slavery and Jim Crow laws and all of the difficulties that minorities in America have been subject to. The greatest percentage of woke people in America are elite, wealthy, white college students whose parents have lots of money.
Like
those girls, Olivia, what's his name? His mother was put in jail for the college admission scandal.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Like her. She's
Felicity Huffman.
Correct. And so these are the people, and these are also the people who get upset on everyone else's behalf. So I'm glad this came up this morning because it's something we haven't discussed for a while. And it sort of sits there in the background and no one acknowledges it. Now, if you are in the elite and there is no way that you can deny that the people who are in American universities now, especially those Ivy League colleges, where your fees are so high that you will spend, if you are not being paid for by your parents or some kind of massive trust fund, you will end up spending the rest of your life paying that money back. It costs so much to go to Harvard and Yale and Stanford and all of these colleges, right? These are the most expensive places you can be educated in the world. Those kids are the most woke, but they're also the most privileged. Now, explain that to me.
Yeah, how does that work?
I think it works like this. I think it's a guilt over how good their lives are and how lucky they are and how they don't really have to ever work.
Yeah.
And they're studying stuff like, you know, poetry or Brazilian literature or feminist theory or whatever it might be. They're sitting there in those classes really biding their time until their parents die so they can get the money.
Biding their time.
And they feel guilty. They feel guilty about the fact that they look around the rest of the United States and the world and they see people in poverty, people who like shit where they eat. They see people who live in polluted places. They see people who have no prospects of ever owning an iPhone. And the guilt is just overwhelming for them. And so they woke it up. They go, climate change is a problem. Climate change is a problem. But they don't realize that the very industries their parents and their grandparents sometimes and even their great-grandparents made their money out of are those industries which started the pollution that they say is the reason for climate change. Don't realize that the reason that they're at college is because they're the beneficiaries of a system which put many of those other people who they now so woke and representative of into the positions they're in. They are living in houses that have extra bedrooms when the people that they supposedly speak for and that they say woke about are living in one-room shacks somewhere in a third world country. Their guilt is overwhelming. So they become woke in order to assuage that guilt. That's what I think. I mean, it's just an amateur psychology lesson.
Do you think or did you ever think there was ever good sentiment in that attitude?
There may be. They certainly think they are good people. And that's the primary driver for them. It's not really about the poor. It's about, I'm a good person because I tell you I care about the poor. It's the same way as they'll post stuff on social media and they'll go after like someone who's obviously racist because it's a soft target, right? Mm. So what does it cost you to name and shame a racist or to say Donald Trump is a horrible person? What does it cost you?
Zero. Exactly.
Mm. So you don't lose any of your own. You don't have to give anything up to have that opinion. You know, if someone who, let's say, someone has got lots to lose and they then put that on the line to go after somebody else, that's bravery. Otherwise, it's just really virtue signaling. And the thing about these people that really drives me crazy is they don't actually believe that deep down inside. You asked, Sia, do you think it comes from a genuine place?
Mm.
Probably at its very heart, it might have been. Let's assume it is. Because, you know, again, like them, they're there. If it comes from, honestly, some place where that's what you really want and you believe, sure, I'm willing to think the best of you. But I think it's all so hidden behind so many other things that have to do with insecurities.
And guilt.
Guilt, yeah.
I was in a relationship like this, and it makes sense now that you're describing it, because many of our fights were around that sort of thing, where I felt she was just saying things and going through the motions out of guilt, and it wasn't really sincere.
Yeah, there are a lot of white people in South Africa who haven't really dealt with it. They don't necessarily do anything for the majority of the country, right? They don't do anything for black people. They don't really speak their mind. They're terrified of being considered like a supporter of the old regime or any of that stuff. So instead,
once again, going to that, it's either black or white.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's nothing in between.
So they virtue signal the hell out of everything. And they're like, when they hear something, that's so racist to their friends.
Mm.
But really, it's because deep down inside, that's all they've got. They don't actually have an opinion. They don't do anything about it either.
That's what I realized.
Probably when no one's looking, they probably shout at their domestic worker as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
There's a public version and there's a private version. The private version is like, oh my God, the blacks.
Yeah.
But in public, they're like, Amandla.
Amandla.
Well, Gareth, you know what you're talking about is interesting. Identity politics is the game of the rich, like you're saying, right?
Yeah, sure.
And it's once again, Susie and Houghton. I drive a Fiat because I'm humble. My dad bought me a Fiat. Yeah. And
you know, hey, Susie's getting a bad riff this morning. I'm going to brunch with her later. Susie and I will meet at Tash's.
I'd like to point out, Sia doesn't give a shit if Susie is superior, because he is as well.
You're Susie and I are BFFs.
Sia's a classist from beginning to end.
Yeah, but our academia, it's happening in South Africa as well. You see, I mean, our academia is turning into a shithouse because all of these shitty, super privileged people.
Identity politic
becomes the sport of the rich, and then it becomes the only thing we talk about. So we never get to talk about anything interesting. It's like, hey, why do you feel like that?
Yeah.
No, don't worry about it. They're racist.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, my parents used to march. They like that one.
Yeah, yeah.
My parents weren't racist.
I remember when we used to march.
Exactly. So we never get to anything interesting.
It's just great.
It's hilarious.
Listen, if you want to be called them, that's fine.
And sorry, Susan, by the way. We had to use you like that.
If there is an actual Susan, I apologize.
But he's listening right now.
All right, thank you, Jesus. Mbulelo no longer identifies as Xhosa. He must never, ever comment on our culture or our boys' initiation. To us, it is still an important part of who we are. It must just be done right. If Mbulelo comments again, I'm coming straight to Cliff Central to have a fist fight with him. Have a good day. People accept Mbulelo.
Wow.
Oh, wow, that's very vicious from Babazi.
Fair enough.
Well, you know what? Your culture's not that special, actually. nobody ever says that to anyone, but it's actually quite unspecial. And nobody's culture is that special. I don't think culture deserves any kind of special treatment. If you are a woman in Pakistan and you have to wear a hijab, don't expect me to give that a whole lot of a wide berth or respect.
Don't butcher it either.
If you're an Aztec and you like to rip out the hearts of still alive people and offer them to your gods, that's a stupid culture, and I'm going to call it that. If you're sending boys up into the mountains and giving them dangerous circumcisions that either end up in genital mutilation or even death, I can call that stupid, and there's nothing you can do about it.
I just want to address that, Gareth. I flip-flop between Bedi and Xhosa, depending who's doing well. So when Siya Kolisi won the World Cup, if a Bedi person does well, then I'm Bedi. Yeah. So just to address that. Yeah.
Right. Yes, good. You must claim it. Just take whatever you can.
There's a multiplicity to me, damn it.
That's right. When I'm,
it's a very good point.
Yeah, when I'm feeling proud of a particular ancestor, then I claim them. Otherwise, I ignore them. If someone says, but they were a murdering, genocidal lunatic, and I go,
we overlook that.
I go, yeah, but okay, but I'm only like 1,255th them. It's like Elizabeth Warren, who claims to be,
what was her fraction of red Indian?
1,240th.
Oh my gracious.
She claimed to be Native American. And by
I said Red Indian. Sorry,
that's bad. You've got to say Native American.
Yes, wow. Native American.
Can't say that. Don't worry. Some white person who's not Red Indian or Native American will call in just now and say, Thea is such a racist because he used that term.
Is it bad? No, I feel like that is bad. Okay. No, yeah. I pointed myself out on that one.
Unrelated. Is Bohemian Rhapsody the greatest song ever? That's a question this morning from Sandile. Sandile, you ask a good question because in almost all the big polls that have been held, and look, these polls are mostly about the greatest music of the 20th century and best songs, and it does come up usually, if not in the top five, then the number one. So you might be onto something. I don't have a particular opinion on it. There are lots of songs I like. It's very hard for me to choose a favorite song. I don't have one favorite song. I've got a bunch.
Depending on your mood.
And it was called a playlist.
Yeah.
And we all have that. And thank God, because there used to be a day, and I still have a bunch of these at home, where we had to collect all of the CDs. And sometimes you'd have to buy an album just for one song. And it cost you like, I remember paying 200 rand for an album and getting one song that I wanted and 20 other songs that I fucking hated. Mm. And now you can go on the internet. What a wonderful life we live. No need to run and hide. It's a wonderful, wonderful life. Right. You don't have to buy all that other rubbish.
I got a whistle.
I remember going to Musica and you'd like listen through the album first.
You could like go. Oh, remember that? Yeah, yeah, with the headphones and stuff.
And listen in to everything.
Music stores.
Oh, man.
Oh, they're struggling. They are absolutely struggling.
Remember you used to carry those CD folders in your car?
Yeah.
Where you slot all your CDs in there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Those were the days.
I still don't know what I'm going to do with all of my CDs.
Do you still have CDs?
Yeah.
I do too. I have a
Where
bunch
are my
of
CDs?
Them.
I can't.
I have shelves in my passage at home that are full of CDs, but I don't have the heart to throw away the ones that I actually spent money on. Because if I took the cost of each of those, and I figured out in today's money how much money I wasted in buying music in those days, it's depressing. I could probably buy another house.
Yeah, but then keep them because, I mean, look at what vinyls have turned to now. Like, they're this rare thing
But no one's ever going to feel that way about CDs, trust me.
But why don't you just get a nerd to digitize them?
No, I've already done. I'm the nerd. I did that. There was a period like 10 years ago, maybe, where I actually went through all of them and took the songs off that I loved.
Mm.
And then I put them in digital format and I've got them on my playlist, but still. Someone says Stairway to Heaven is such a cliche by now, but it came on the wireless again the other day, and by God, it's an amazing song. Has to be up there. Someone says, I'd like to be called cunt from now on.
Okay,
people
cunt.
People with pronouns in their Twitter profiles are horrible people. I'd like to be called cunt. So there's a useful bit from that person. If that guy Babazi wants his dick being chopped off by a blunt object, let him do it to his own damn kids. It doesn't mean that Mbulelo didn't do the dick chopping thing or that he's not Xhosa. People have choices and that ritual is outdated. That comes from Vinny. And hey guys, I'm a black South African. I am back.
Black. Back and black. Same thing.
Back in black. That's a good song too. I'm back in South Africa for a week visiting my family. The time zone makes it easy for us to live and to listen live. I've not been here for almost 2 years. Wow, that's a shock. Been staying at my brother's place in Centurion. The floods were insane. I'm shocked at how expensive a restaurant bill has become here. I was curious, how often do people eat out these days? I'm enjoying the biltong and the clip drift. Thanks for a lekker show, Duncan from Wimbledon in the UK. A couple
Pretty
of questions.
Cool.
Yeah, first of all, we wouldn't know. It's like the frog being boiled. We wouldn't know if the restaurant bills had gone up hugely over the last couple of years since you were last here. It's 2 years ago, so it's probably more expensive because cost of living is generally on the increase.
Mm-hmm.
How often do people go out? Well, it's weird. You can go to most shopping malls, places where people go to eat out, and they're usually full. So everybody talks about how shitty the economy is, and obviously it's a very small percentage of people that can afford to eat out the whole time, but there are a lot of them.
There are a lot of them, especially in the malls and stuff.
They keep these places
Tashes.
Going. I mean, it's not so busy during the day, I've noticed.
Mm.
when you said Tasha's, see, I got offended on Tasha's behalf. You know?
I realized, where are we going with this story?
Oh, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, well, Gareth, we were recording something. We were recording a podcast series we're working on in a mall.
Yes.
Probably like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at 10 a.m. I was so surprised by how packed it was.
Mm.
It's like, where do these people work? Hey?
They're busy. They're busy eating.
Yeah, exactly.
They're busy shopping.
Yes, you can say some people have, you know, some people are freelancers and they meet in restaurants and whatnot because they don't have offices. But there were still a lot of people in stores. I've been seeing a lot of new stores open as well. These, and I'm not just talking about like general stores, these high-end boutique places opening.
Yeah. Sure, absolutely.
There's clearly a market for it.
Well, it's interesting that there's always going to be a gap for that. But now I think it's that time of year where people do decide to splash out a little bit. And they go, you know what? It's the holidays. Let's go out for dinner. End up with those bills in January. And I'm not trying to put you off. You do whatever you want with your money. You know, like with Black Friday, we're not going to tell you you shouldn't do it because, oh, you know, that's, again, the same patronizing bullshit. Like, you don't know what to do. You can do whatever you want with your money. If you want to turn all your money, if you are a, let's say you're a parent and you have 8 children and you have school fees to worry about next year and you haven't got transport and your job might be canning you in February. If you want to go and blow all your money on drugs, you go for it. Don't let me be the one who stands in your way. I'm not going to tell you what to do. It's like those people, they drive me crazy. They give money to someone at the traffic lights.
Yeah.
And they say, no, don't spend that on drugs. How patronizing is that? Do whatever you want.
Look, I don't know how it's
you
like...
You want to drink it all up in one night? If you're a mine worker and you go down into the depths of the earth to pull out little bits of gold and you get paid 10,000 rand a month and you get it in cash in an envelope and you decide... Tonight, I'm going to the Shebeen. Mm-hmm. I'm drinking that whole 10,000 rand up. They're going to peel me off the ground on Sunday. Ooh. And I'll get up and have some more if there's money left. Who the hell is anyone else to tell you what to do?
I don't know what it's like between you and your friends, but I'm seeing a lot of my friends now get into the phase of the year where you're just spending. Like, screw it, actually, we've worked hard. It's now the time of the year. We're enjoying it all.
Do it.
This late lunch that I was at yesterday was of a good friend, and I mean a good friend, because she foot the bill.
Oh, wow, nice.
She said, she invited 4 of us as well to say, I just want to say thank you guys for being in my life this year and for being great friends. So she had champagne, sushi, and oysters for us.
You must have been in your element.
Like,
I don't
this
even
is a
like
good
oysters.
Friend.
Do you like oysters?
No, I don't eat oysters.
Can't stand that stuff.
See, I just like the fact that they were there.
And that they're expensive.
Absolutely.
See, I like the fact that someone had to go and fish them out of the sea. They had to be transported here, probably by air, who knows.
And someone had to pry them open.
Put on a silver dish in front of him for him to go, no thanks.
We were in the middle of Santon.
He's so superior.
Darling, it was amazing.
See, good for you. Here's an interesting thing that Charles just sent me, and I think this is very relevant to our current discussion. Tradition is basically just peer pressure from dead people. There we go. And then someone else sent me a brilliant screenshot of someone on Facebook whose name is actually my pussy and my crack. So I thought that was this pussy just like you should. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. My neck, my back, lick my pussy and my crack. Yes, baby.
Yeah. What a great reminder.
Great. Let's get into a couple of stories. Canton will be joining us later on for the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. I went through to their offices at Central Kitchen the other day, which is in Lawrenceville, where the original Nando's is from, their origin story. And it's just great. There's such a vibe there. I mean, it's a terrible part of town, I won't lie. It's not my favorite place to go. It's there near Ellis Park, effectively. But they've done for that neighborhood so much good. And people talk about how, you know, it's all about corporate social investment. But here's Nando's doing something in a really god-awful neighborhood. People are, really, they're living in just abject poverty around the place. And Nando says, no, no, we don't mind being in there. We're going to put our office there, and they've created jobs.
Yeah, it's quite a commitment.
Are they churning out any chicken over there?
Damn right they are. That's where they do all their taste testing and everything else too. All right, let's get into it. Here are some things you need to know today. The five things, the five big headlines in South Africa this morning. Where should we begin? Well, the South African National Defense Force, get ready for an amantla, has spent more than 20 million rand on luxury vehicles for its top brass over two financial years. Among the 22 vehicles purchased, Google, you can tell us about these, two BMW 750i sedans, which are worth more than 1.5 million rand each.
Worth more than 1.8, actually, because the 740 is around there.
There we go. Three Audi Q7s worth nearly a million rand apiece, and three BMW X5s worth more than 900,000 rand each. This was revealed by the Defense and Military Veterans Minister Nosiviwe Mapisa Ngakule.
Oh, love her name.
In response to written questions in Parliament by Freedom Front Plus leader Pieter Groenewald. The news comes in the same week that cost-cutting sacrifices were announced for government bigwigs and new ministerial handbook regulations. The handbook now limits the executive to spending a maximum, that was the old book, a maximum of 700,000 rand inclusive of VAT, maintenance plans and security extras on their official vehicles. Everybody, let's do an amandla for wasting money on BMW 750i's for people in the defense force.
Amandla.
Now we right, busted. So wait, 20 million in two years.
It's just in luxury cars. Bear in mind, we live in a country where in order to be in the top 1%, this is how poor we are as a country, to be in the top 1% in South Africa, do you know what you have to take home after tax? 45,000 rand.
Yeah.
Now, that's a lot of money, but it's not as much money as you think to be in the top 1%. Okay? 20 million rand pissed away on cars that only the top 1% could afford anyway.
Look, my maths is bad, but 1.8, almost 2 million a pop. So we're talking about like 11 cars?
Yeah, for probably two or three people.
Disgustingly fat, lazy,
shitheads.
How did you know they're
fat? Have never contributed.
How did you know they're fat?
Have you seen our army?
Because the chances are that people who waste other people's money like this also have no self-discipline over their own body. And I guarantee you Mbulelo's right. Let's have a look. If anybody wants to challenge us on this, I defy you to find a picture of the people,
how they look,
who are driving around in these cars right now. Zimbabwe's doctors' strike has reached a 100-day mark. This is just such a sad story for people who are sick and people who need medical treatment in Zimbabwe. Wednesday marked 100 days since the doctors in Zim went on strike. And let this be a warning to ministers like Zweli Mkhize and the former Minister of Health, Aaron Motsoaledi, who are thinking about a national health insurance. Industrial action, which began on 3rd of September, affected major hospitals. President Emmerson Mnangagwa's government appeared hopeful that after 100 days, the doctor's strike may be finally drawing to a close. What, they were sitting on their hands? Just, we're hopeful. Hopes and prayers. The Health Services Board said at least 80 doctors applied to return to work. After a financial support offer was made by the Higher Life Foundation, which is a charity run by billionaire Strive Masiyiwa. But that figure was only a fraction of the 1,600 doctors in government service. Again, a capitalist billionaire in this case, had to come to the rescue because government couldn't do it properly. Most of them had joined the strike. The Hospital Doctors Association's Masimba Ndoro said that the problems...
Sorry, Gareth. You. What's the name? What's
his Masimba.
Okay.
Ndor.
Okay.
What?
That is shit.
Why?
That's
it means
translated.
Shit.
Oh, Masimba.
Into Zulu.
Yeah, Masimba. Yeah, that's literally shit.
In
not even
Zulu.
Poo.
But we're talking Shona here.
Yeah. Yeah, but slightly different. Yeah, you got us this.
I don't think
this.
Their parents called them shit.
Oh, well, shit. But that's so bad.
Masimba.
Okay, what does it mean in Shona? I'll find out.
Anyway, apparently the problems of low government wages and a lack of medicine and equipment in hospitals still hadn't been addressed.
Okay.
If you were a doctor in Zimbabwe, would you put up with this? And remember, every day they're on strike, they lose money too. So you must know how desperate their situation is if they're prepared to, over 100 days, lose money. Mm. Coming up to Christmas. It's not worth being a doctor in a country like Zimbabwe. It's not worth being a doctor in a country like South Africa sometimes. And we've got to watch this carefully. We need doctors more than they need us. They can go anywhere in the world and play their trade. There are countries all over the world that need doctors. If we want to keep ours, we have to look after them. It's about time we were a little bit more grateful. And we realized that even though doctors cost a lot of money, that's because we need them. It's life and death. And you, money suddenly doesn't matter when you have to do that stuff, which is why it's a good idea to have medical aid.
And I just want to say on the doctor thing, I don't care what you think. Some people are more important. Most doctors are more important than you studying fine arts.
Yeah, exactly.
You bloody
most
dickheads.
Or me being a DJ. No,
let's get down to the nitty-gritties of staying alive.
No, this is a good point. If we disappeared tomorrow, if cliffcentral.com shut down and you didn't have us in the morning, well, it would be hard for you for a couple of days, but you'd eventually get over it. No one would die. If every doctor in the country shut up shop tomorrow, we'd all die.
Yeah, the common cold becomes the plague.
Yeah, so let's just be aware of that. I think Mbulela's point is well taken.
In Tesla, conclusion, Masimba means authority in Shona.
Oh, look at that.
So isn't
come
that
here,
interesting?
We'll call you shit, though.
Authority in one language and shit in another.
Yeah.
All right. Tesla plans to build 500,000 electric vehicles a year with its new factory in the outskirts of Berlin.
Okay.
Germany's Bild newspaper reported on Wednesday. Last month, Tesla CEO Elon Musk announced that a site in Brandenburg had been chosen to build Tesla Model 3 and Model Y vehicles. And let me tell you, it's very expensive to produce stuff like this in Germany or in Europe generally, because they have labor unions, they have huge tariffs and taxes. So for him to do this, he must be choosing quality over quantity. It's an interesting decision because he could always come and manufacture things here in South Africa, but Elon Musk has nothing nice to say about South Africa. Ask him. You'll see for yourself. We always claim him. He doesn't claim us.
Oh, really?
Oh, he has nothing nice to say.
Yeah, that's because he got beat up at Pretoria Boys High.
That's correct.
What are some of the things he said?
Oh, he just he doesn't have time for this country. He's said time after time that he was very pleased his parents moved them to America when he was a kid.
Well, don't come back then.
So what happened to the whisper?
Yeah, sure, Google, you're in a position to tell Elon Musk not to come back. I'm sure he's shivering in his boots at Google Masuku's threat. Just say it again, Google, in case he didn't listen, because I'm sure he's still not listening.
We don't need you here.
Of course, we do.
Oh, okay.
As someone who's in
let's be serious for a second.
Would you not like a Tesla factory
Let's be serious for a second, yeah. Is there a reason why we're not getting Teslas over here?
But what?
Because Elon Musk hates us because of things you...
Exactly. Like. I don't like him either then.
Google, that attitude is going to take you far in life. Weren't there whispers that there'll be a Tesla factory in Cape Town?
I haven't heard anything.
Oh, okay.
So if Musk family fact that you might like, a fun fact for you, Sia, his father is the Lothario I think you dream of being one day if you look him up.
Do you know, I've only looked up the mother.
Look
the
up father Elon Musk's looking. Father is the Lothario Seer. Yes. Dreams to be one day. So,
all right, anyway, so a German newspaper reported Tesla will invest up to 4 billion euros. Now, wouldn't we like that?
Sus.
See? That's why you got to hope for these guys to come and invest in your country.
Mbulelo, what do you think I'm into?
It'll create 10,000 jobs, too. What, you just found a picture of Elon Musk's father?
Firstly, his name is Errol.
Errol Musk.
That is not Errol. Okay, let me search for him younger. Maybe he looked...
All right. While Sia's busy looking for a date, we'll move on to the other stories. The BBC reporting this morning that the UK voters are set to head to the polls today. Today's the big day. Contest, the first to be held in December in nearly 100 years, follows those in 2015 and 2017. Polling stations in 650 constituencies across England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland opened up at 7 a.m. this morning. After they close, at 10 o'clock tonight, counting will begin. A total of 650 MPs will be chosen under the first-past-the-post system, which is the same one we have here. It's used for general elections, which the candidate who secures the most votes in each individual constituency is elected. And this, of course, is massively important because if Boris wins an overwhelming majority, he's going to Brexit because he will have a mandate. If, however, through some miracle, Jeremy Corbyn manages to pull something out of the hat, then you will hear the sounds of toilets flushing all across England. But let's see what happens.
Boris hid in a fridge.
Did
yeah,
he?
I saw that.
He hid in a fridge.
And I just thought, now we're getting
what's
so ridiculous.
He's a lunatic. What's the story?
So, rumor has it he hid in a fridge because he wanted to avoid journalists yesterday.
In a fridge?
Boris hid in a fridge.
What an idiot.
But some context, where was he?
I think, was it not in number 10? Because there were journalists that came around.
What, they just barge into his house?
And how do you sneak into a fridge?
Well, he's Boris Johnson. He can get a really big fridge.
You need a big fridge. Have you seen the size of him?
He is Jesus.
All right. CNN reporting. A fully electric commercial plane has completed a test flight in Canada in what operators have called a world first for the aviation industry. The six-seater plane, which is a 62-year-old seaplane refitted with a fully electric 750-horsepower motor, took off from Vancouver on Tuesday and was airborne for 15 minutes. So it's not ready yet for us to hop on as passengers, but there's some... There's
just some. 15 minutes.
Someone says Masipa means shit, not Masimba, you idiots. That's from...
Masipa
Listen,
Sutu.
That's Sutu. We're speaking about Zulu here.
Okay. Is Gugu real or is he one of the boots from Boot Fight?
So the past couple of months have been an extended promotion for Gord's game. We have just brought a caricature into studio. Yes.
Really?
Okay. Couple other messages we can get to just before we go to the burning platform. Talking about CDs, I bought a new car a month ago and only now I looked at the radio and realized it doesn't have a CD player.
They don't, the new ones.
Nobody makes them, right?
Yeah, no.
Morning, guys. Remember the days of standing in Musica listening to albums on the store headphones and thinking back, can you imagine how dirty those headphones were? Germ-infested, manky headphones. Gugu, Elon is not the only one who hates this country. The idea of a rainbow nation has long since passed the international community. And their love relationship with our shithole has long since passed. There's some very hard words from Sean. I don't know if that's entirely true, Sean. I think people just generally have given up on the whole romantic idea of countries being great. I mean, we're living in a time where the state is less important than it's ever been, and it's on its way down. People are less interested in belonging to a country than they ever have been. You ask somebody if they'll put on a uniform right now and go and fight for Cyril. Ask anybody under the age of 40. Chances are that person will give you the middle finger, and they'll give the president the middle finger too. No one's going to... If suddenly we're imperiled, let's say Namibia decides to invade us. Imagine what... Are you going to suddenly go to the border with Namibia with whatever your handgun is and fight for South Africa?
No.
Nah, I'm not.
Your handgun is.
I'll give that a skim.
Nobody is. Nobody. You know what? Take stock of where we are and where the generations under the age of 40 are right now when it comes to nationalism. It's petering out as an idea. Patriotism's petering out as an idea. Nobody cares about that stuff anymore.
It's why our politicians, I don't want to say African, but let's speak to South Africa, don't understand, Gareth. It's capitalism and nationalism are in divorce now. Yeah, money correct. Doesn't need government anymore, yeah. And they still operate
that's
like...
That's a good point.
That's exactly what's going on.
Okay.
So, just an update on this Boris Johnson fridge story.
Yes,
it's, of course. Okay. It's very clickbaity, but once you... get through the nuts and bolts of it. It's really neither here nor there. Boris was actually at a factory, a modern milkman factory. So
okay,
he
makes
was
sense.
Walking around, and then press was there. Good Morning Britain was also there with their camera crew, and they wanted to interview him. He wasn't really up to it, and then he walked into a fridge with his aides, and they sort of looked like they were busy in there to avoid the interview.
So he didn't sneak into a little fridge.
It wasn't like he was like hiding in the dark somewhere. But I love the fact that one of his aides is heard saying, "Oh, fuck's sake." And you thought about how that landed one of our journalists. What's the state of Barry Pateman now? Is he still...
He's back at EWN.
Okay, yeah. That
for now.
He was suspended, and that was big news. In Britain, one of Boris's people says, "Oh, fuck's sake," and it's just another day at the office. Yeah, so it's not really much of a story, even though Jeremy Corbyn loved every moment of it, because in response, he was like, "Well, you know, I don't hide in fridges." Okay.
Because if you walked into a fridge, Jeremy Corbyn, you would die in there. If you spend more than 2 minutes in a fridge, your blood pressure would probably drop and you'd have a heart attack. Yeah, well, he's trying to come across as this adorable grandpa, but he's mean Father Christmas who wants to steal your gifts and give them to someone else.
70 years old.
Is that how old Corbyn
70.
Is? It's not even that old. How old's Bernie and Trump and Joe Biden? They're also in their late 70s. Bernie's like...
Yeah. Oh. Bernie is 78. Mm-hmm. Biden is 77. And Trump is 73. Follows with Elizabeth Warren, who's 70.
Elizabeth Warren, yeah. But have you heard Nancy Pelosi? She's got false teeth, but they rattle around in her mouth quite a lot.
Wait!
No, she really does. I've got to play this for you quickly.
I heard her.
Yeah, it's bad. Huh?
Sounds like a rattlesnake.
I heard her. She sounded like everyone's grandma that you know. So mm-hmm. She was talking to the press. I can't, like you... The mic was on her, so you can't hear.
She talks to a reporter at a press conference about how she doesn't hate Donald Trump. She's actually praying for him because she's a good Catholic.
Oh, yes.
But listen to this quickly.
I don't hate anybody. I don't have a grace in the Catholic house. We don't hate anybody, not anybody in the world. So don't accuse me.
Okay, you'll hear now. She moves closer to the microphone, and really, she must get her teeth fitted a little better because they're rolling around in her mouth a bit, and it makes her sound very old. Listen to this.
I think the president is a coward when it comes to helping our kids who are afraid of gun violence. I think he is cruel when he doesn't deal with helping our dreamers. Of which we're very proud. I think he's in denial about the climate crisis. However, about the election.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Like it's bad. She needs to have those teeth sorted out.
Yeah, I think this is the same press junket where one of the journalists asked her a question she didn't like.
No, this is it. This is what I've just played for you now. So she said, "Do you hate the president?" And she like, lost it.
She ends up wagging her finger at one of the journalists,
like,
saying,
don't
mess
anybody.
With me.
I'm a good Catholic, and everybody's saying how brave she is. I mean, she
doesn't that sound like a grandma? Don't mess with
me. I prefer if she stood up and said, like Joe Biden did something interesting this week. I didn't want to get into politics before the burning platform, but it's worth going into. Joe Biden had a fight with an Elizabeth Warren supporter, an old fat guy. Mm-hmm. And Joe Biden said to him, "Hey, fatty, hey, fatso." He was about to say something like that, and like a whole lot of people have lost their shit about this. But I think it'll actually help Biden. It makes him look like he's tough and he means business, and he's not going to take people's shit. Because this guy was chirping from the sidelines while Joe was busy talking, and he said something about Hunter Biden, his son, and contracts that are illegal and corruption, and Joe like basically hit back. Which is what you would do if you were attacked and you had any self-respect. And now people are saying, oh, Joe Biden's, you know, some people are saying it's a terrible reaction. He should have thought about it. He didn't actually say, what he did is he looked at the guy and he said fat, and then he stopped himself.
So
he's going to say fatso.
His people are now saying that he was trying to say fat.
Yeah, but that excuse fat. Would work if you were Nancy Pelosi and your teeth were falling out because he's fat.
His team is really good, though. That is a good counter
That's
to
clever.
Have. But then watch. Now I'm scrolling through columnists because you know they're my favorite pastime because everyone has an opinion. One person writes, Joe Biden's old guy machismo is a serious flaw.
Guys, let's pay attention to something really important for this morning, please. The most important announcement of the morning.
Ooh.
And I think this is going to make you very, very proud of her and her work.
As one out of millions in this movement.
Can I have a hug?
People look up to me in some way, I guess. That, of course, puts me in a bit of a different position.
Is that really her?
People listen to what I have to say. I want you to unite behind the science.
Welcome, Greta Thunberg.
Thank you.
You're changing the world.
The world is waking up.
Okay, we're off. Yep, that guy.
But I'm not a leader or the face of the climate movement. I'm just one of many faces.
So humble. So humble. So humble. I
just
do love
continue living as if there was no
Time magazine. The guys who brought you Hitler as Man of the Year in 1938 have just decided that Greta Thunberg should be the Person of the Year for 2019. Let's give her a round of applause. It is nice when a teenager gets an accolade like this. So let's just remember she's a young woman We have no problem with her, other than that she's just so humble and that she's trying to save the earth. There's no small goal here for someone. No idea how, but she will shit on you for not separating your rubbish.
Time magazine.
She has no other plans at the moment except to make you feel guilty and make you feel bad and occasionally attend rallies and grimace at people like Donald Trump, who she believes are the enemy. But she is not opening up factories that are going to pull carbon dioxide out of the air and turn it into coal, because she's only 16. What do you expect from her? But if you don't agree with her about climate change, and if you aren't using boats instead of planes to get from A to B, and if you drive a car that is making noxious carbon emissions, and if you occasionally eat meat because cows fart and pollute the earth and the atmosphere with their farts, then she will look down on you. But she's very humble.
Mm.
And she's now Person of the Year. Let's just be proud of... Let's take this moment to bask in the glory of the fact that a young Swedish girl is setting us all right.
Time magazine Person of the Year is the equivalent of a mother telling every child how handsome or beautiful they are. It is meaningless.
Correct. I've never had a subscription to that. Have you?
I'd rather kill myself.
Yeah. I saw you post this yesterday with that caption, including Hitler. And as soon as I saw you post it, I went, okay, let me go. Because these comment sections are about to go off.
Hey, it's not me. It's Time Magazine. I hope history will be kinder to Greta than they were to Adolf.
One of the people who commented on your Instagram post says... It's like the poster, talking about the cover of the magazine.
Mm.
They say it's like the poster for the movie Titanic. Makes me wonder, is the human race about to sink?
Mm-hmm.
Calm down. Calm down now, people. And then someone else says, Vomasaurus.
Oh, Gareth, and I consider myself left, but when these types of things happen, it's vomit stuff. It's
How
vomit.
Dare you? How dare you?
How dare you say that?
I'm surprised those aren't the words of the year.
How dare
they should be, yes.
How dare you?
Not even they. It's now how dare you.
Here's Greta Thunberg's mom with some comments on that.
Mine might do that, yes. And that'd be very painful if somebody hit me in the balls, especially a horse or a cow or whatever the case might be.
Okay, so I don't think they asked her the right question, but there we go. Wow. Congratulations to Greta.
And you said that was her mom?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was her mother, who likes to go by the pronoun they.
Oh, from Eurovision to sounding like this.
I'd just like to take this moment to point out, I've written a little blog. I want to go through a few things quickly.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a minute before we get to the burning platform. Just to remind you of how the world is not falling apart and things are not worse than they've ever been. And people who say that Earth is a terrible place to be in 2019 have got it all wrong. You can check and fact check me on all of this if you'd like. You have the internet at your fingertips, and of course you have a master's degree in research and statistics, but you go ahead and figure this out. If you think I'm lying about any of this, I'd love to hear from you. Most people today are not threatened by starvation, they're threatened by obesity. There are less wars on Earth than at any time before this. Women in Western democracies are more emancipated, empowered, and powerful than ever before. Less children are in forced labor or servitude than at any other time in human history. Global poverty has been halved just between 2000 and 2012 and is on its way down as well. That's according to the UN, not me. The average lifespan has improved from 30 to 71 in 100 years. Only 6 to 8 people per 100,000 worldwide will die violently. On average, 15% of us used to die violently prior to 1900. Population growth is slowing. In 1960, the average woman had 4.5 children. That number is now 2.5. Global inequality is falling. The developing world is advancing faster. We're getting smarter. The IQ test has had to be recalibrated. If we did IQ tests from the 1950s now, all of us, humanity generally, would average at 118, not 100. So they've had to revise it down. There were only 11 democracies in 1900. There are now over 90. Everything the average man in 1700 knew could fit on the front page of just one newspaper today. And you have all of the internet. The public internet, by the way, only 28 years old. But the four most valuable companies in the world are companies which rely on the internet. They didn't exist before. We've created that wealth out of nothing. So don't, when we enter a new decade, get pulled backwards by politicians. Believe all that negative nonsense. They tell you we're more divided than ever. There's more discrimination than ever. There's more global poverty and inequality than ever. There's more climate change and ugliness waiting for us around the corner. Armageddon's coming. Don't believe a word of it. It's all bullshit. If you don't believe me, go and fact check all of that stuff yourself. You could probably add a few more positive stories to it. And don't call me an optimist. That's realist. You're a cynic. And if you believe all that negative stuff out there, good for you. I'm not going to join in your party anymore. I'm not interested. I'm happy being alive right now. This is the best time ever to be alive.
Absolutely, Gareth. It is the best time to be alive. And for anybody who doesn't subscribe to that, we should give them a little finger.
Yeah. Or just all you sing ladies this. Pop your pussy
like this. Oh, hey.
Shake your body, don't stop, don't miss. All you ladies pop your pussy like this.
CliffCentral.com.